Working. He had gone upstairs to the office, and while they were taking things out of the shrimp house downstairs, he had told them to leave anything that would sink and let it go down in the mud, and we'd pick it up later. And that's what they were doing. But he was loading up all of our records, emptying our files of years of things that were really needed, and piling them up in shrimp boxes, and they were to be the last load that went off the shrimp house. But unfortunately, the waves of the seas tore the runway up. There was no way to get a truck down there, so we lost all of our records, because the first thing that went was our roof, and it went into the restaurant that was on shore, not very far from where the shrimp house was. And Dallas had to, of course, swim ashore. And by 8 o'clock, he was back at the house and said, "We do not have a shrimp house. There's nothing left but piling." And that was true. And so then we had to battle the boats that were tied up down here in the old yacht basin. Now, I live right, there's one house between me and the old yacht basin. I try to tell people when they're coming down here, if they don't stop, they'll go overboard. But anyway, there were boats, dozens and dozens of them, that entire yacht basin, all the way to the river. And everybody had tied down as best they could, and the captains and the crews were aboard with life jackets on. And the wind was coming out of the northeast, which we ordinarily would have said a northeaster, but this one was not. This was a hurricane. And my husband kept going down there. The water was coming up. I did leave out one important thing. When he went down to the waterfront with his friend across the street, I went over after I got my daughter up. She was 5 years old, and got her dressed, and I dressed. I went across and picked up Augusta Moore, whose husband was with my husband. And we went down to a restaurant that was just a block, not quite a block, in front of us on Bay Street on the waterfront. And I asked Augusta, I said, "Augusta, aren't you worried about water?" And she said, "No." "Why do you ask?" I said, "Well, I just wondered." So we went in and we ate the fastest breakfast I guess anybody ever did, not knowing that that was going to be the last really good meal we had in about 3 weeks. And when we came out, the water was up to our knees. And she said, "Leela, I didn't know when you asked me if I was worried about water that you meant the Atlantic Ocean and the Cape Fear River." But that's exactly what it was. And it came up that fast. It ended up, we had an 18-foot surge. The storm hit 10 o'clock in the morning at high tide. At the worst lunar, it was the October lunar high tide, the worst possible time. It all happened exactly at 10 o'clock. And I was sitting in this house watching the water come down, fresh water come down, meeting salt water going up in the walls. I didn't have a roof left. And
it took the roof off?
Yeah, took shingles off. Didn't take the whole roof, but it took shingles off until it leaked. And actually, this floor here, that we're here, this was underwater. See how it's about 2-3 inches lower than the rest of the house, because it was a...
What'd you do, go upstairs?
This was a porch. No.
It was okay inside?
I stayed in there, mm-hmm. in the living room. Mm-hmm. Walking, as I said before, I walk when I'm upset. And,
walking and praying and cussing.
Yeah, I'm walking and praying and cussing, right. But I'm frightened to death. I have parents who live uptown on another street, and I was worried about them because they live under the largest oak tree in Southport, and that's all I could think of, those huge limbs. If they broke, they'd crush that house. But there wasn't anything I could do about it. The telephones were out by that time, and we also, of course, I said we had no lights. It would be about 3 or 4 weeks before we ever got lights. And it was absolutely the most horrible day that I ever spent up till that time, I will put it that way. I guess the death of my husband was the worst shock I ever had, but this was bad. We sweated it out. I watched my husband go from here swimming down to the boats, and he would yell instructions about what to do, you know, and I kept thinking and begging him not to go. There wasn't anything he could do, but he did tell me one thing that was important. He said, I want to warn you, there is an eye in that storm, and when it happens, the sun will come out, the wind will stop blowing, and it may be 15 or 20 minutes of beautiful weather. He said, even the birds will come out, and you will never know. But the wind will slowly shift around and get to the back of the boats. Now, he says, the boats are now headed into the wind, which they were. But he said, when that wind shifts around and gets to the back, to the stern of those boats, he said, nothing on earth is going to stop them. They are going. Where is, we have no way of knowing. And I noticed that we didn't get an eye. It blew just, it, I noticed the wind was shifting, but it was blowing just as hard from every direction. And this threw me for a loop. I couldn't understand that. Where is the eye? Where's the eye? Well, he didn't understand it either. We know now what happened, but and why it was so bad. But the wind did get to the stern of the boats, and that was horrible. The men had to jump overboard and swim over here in their life jackets and just abandon the boats. There was nothing on earth they could do. One did manage to get out, and her name, the name of that boat was the Royal Flush. She made it out of the outbasin, I could see that far, and got in the river. But I didn't know, we didn't know until about 8:30 that night what happened to her. She made it to Wilmington, North Carolina. And I asked Johnny, the captain, I said, Johnny, did you have any trouble keeping the boat running? He said, I could have cut the motor off and we'd have still been going. And that was true. He said, I was too busy dodging houses and everything in the world, trees. He said, you cannot believe what was in that water. But we did hear, because a man who was putting his shrimp out at our shrimp house came down with his wife. They had to go, I don't know how many miles out of the way because of the trees on the highway. But they did make it, because he had a lot of boats down here too. Of course, they were all up in the woods in the pine trees, but they were there. And they said that the first thing they saw coming out of Wilmington was our boat, and it was tied safely at a dock in Wilmington. So we did know where she was. And we could see two that ended up across the street, 15 feet from the house across the street of the home that Merritt and Augusta Moore built over there. These two boats broke loose, and I watched them. The owner of the restaurant where we ate, he and his cook had left the restaurant in a pickup truck that they had, that the owner had. And they got just about where our shrimp house is, was then, or would be. It was in the process of being built. And it a wave ground the motor out, and they had to get out. And I watched them swim, and they swam over here to my house and came in, got in my house. And they, their lives were saved. But I watched our boats break loose and go and crush that truck. And I have wonderful pictures of it just smashed by the keels of those boats, hit it. And they later on, they finally dragged it up here, get it out the way, because it was on the street down there. And but my husband, as I said, kept going down there, and I kept begging him not to go. But he finally ended up, the water by that time was up not only in my yard and up to the floors of my house, it was behind my garage in the, almost to the next street over there, behind me on an alley. And he went out that way and went down the bulkhead. And when he got down to a dock, there was one little shrimp house that was there. I was watching him from my house. And all of a sudden, I lost him. I couldn't see him. I died 1,000 times. And then his head popped up, and I saw him swimming this way. Well, my house was full of people, men, You could get in the back way. So I could also, I must mention the fact that I did not stay in this house foolishly. I could have gotten out any time. I'd have had to get wet, and my daughter would have too, but we could have gotten out. And my car, I mean, not my car, my car was in the garage, closed up at the fish house. Station wagon was back there. I could have gotten out. I wasn't foolish enough not to know that. But anyway, he swam, and I called the men in the house, and it took every one of us. When we opened that door, it was just like, I don't know how to describe how much water came in. But it came in, and he tumbled in with it. And it took every one of us to get that door closed, but we did. And he, when he stood up, he said, "I won't go again," and I recall that I said, "Thank God," and I meant that quite reverently. And so there wasn't anything left then but to just sit here and wait. And I had it all written down, what happened at 9 o'clock, what happened about 10, and what happened about 11, 12. And then at 1 o'clock, I noticed it was getting a little bit better, and I perked up. But in the meantime, I had finally settled down to sit on the bottom step of my stairway, and I was watching the water slosh up on the window pane of the window I was looking out. My daughter had said, "Mother, what is the water doing up so high and the wind blowing so hard and it raining?" And my answer to her was, "Honey, I think God is real angry with us this morning." That's all I could say to her, because I really didn't know. And actually, at that point, I really felt like I didn't care. I wanted it over so bad. But anyway, I said I would give my soul for a cup of coffee. And in a few minutes, here came a cup of coffee. And I had a space heater in the kitchen that when we put in a heating system in the house, we had had gas before. And I refused to let my husband take that out. And I was so thankful that day, because that little gas heater fed us for about 2 and close to 3 weeks. I cooked enough food to keep us alive on that one little gas stove with the radiance out of it. But that's where my coffee came from. Pure coffee grounds in a cup of coffee, and it was so good. That's about all I can tell you, except that it finally at 3 o'clock, no, about 1, 2 o'clock, it was about over. 3 o'clock, it was perfectly calm, and we decided to get out and walk. So the neighbors next door came over here, and I went over to their houses to see how much damage. Then we got together, and we started walking and stopping at each house. And believe it or not, we cried every time we saw each other. It was the many tears were shed that day. However, not one single soul in Southport was injured or killed or died. But I'll tell you this, we sure cried, especially when we got down, tried to get down on the waterfront. It was unreal. There was not a single building left on the entire waterfront. 17 shrimp houses gone, plus all the other little houses and everything. There was nothing left but piling. And so you can imagine how we felt. And I guess that's about it, except for a wonderful thing happened. The government was building what is known as Sunny Point Ammunition Depot. It's about one of the largest in the world. And by the way, it also 90% of the ammunition that went to Vietnam came right here from Southport out of Sunny Point Ammunition Depot, which was quite a record. So we were quite used to that. People used to say, or still do, worried about the CPNL nuclear plant. I said, I'm a whole lot more afraid of Sunny Point than I am that, and I still am. But really, I'm not afraid of either one. I've been through Hurricane Hazel and survived. That's about all I can tell you. We did survive it. It was not pleasant for several weeks. We lived under terrible conditions. We were cordoned off by the state. They had National Guard came in, and it was comforting to see the boys walk around with their flashlights. We knew we were safe and sound. But because everything was dark. We still didn't have lights, and it did turn cold. I will remind you that this was the 15th day of October, so you see, winter was coming in before we got lights. It did get cold, and so we suffered that way too. But we did survive. But don't get in a hurricane if you can help it.
I have a number of questions. I was wondering, we've been talking a long time. Do you think we should take a if we take a break now and I came back this afternoon?
Okay.
That we could talk maybe an hour more or something like that. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we do that?
All right.
Got it on tape that you're and your husband's company was the
United Shrimp Company.
United Shrimp Company.
It was a shrimp house.
The restaurant where you and your friend ate was
Ship Channel.
You mentioned here Quacks.
Oh, that. There's not much left, but you can see a little bit of it. I think you can see the sign, Quacks. Is it making, doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was lost in Southport?
What was lost
because of
Well, there were some boats lost, but I can't recall who they were or what. Houses were smashed and had to be practically rebuilt. I can show you pictures of those. And, of course, all the shrimp houses were lost. And all the buildings.
I might have spoke too soon. Can you hear me?
1, 2, 3.
There we go.
You want me to answer that question again? Ask what was lost. My answer to that was there were some boats lost. I don't recall who, and I don't recall that any large boats were lost that could not be recovered. We had a lot in the woods and up in people's yards, but they were all brought in. We had a big thing to happen. They were building Sunny Point Ammunition Depot at the time, and the three companies that it was Shoals and Diamond and one more, and I can't recall that one, but there were three companies building it, and they got sent orders down to their superintendents to go into the city of Southport and clean it up. And that's exactly what they did. Almost within 1 week after that storm, you could hardly tell, other than looking at the houses that were battered, there wasn't anything on the streets, anybody's yard. Everything was cleaned up. All the boats were in the water bath. Believe it or not, looked to me like just like one strap over these huge boats. They'd lift away up in the air and they'd sway and they'd gently lay them back down in the water. I recall standing on my driveway with my 16mm Kodak camera, and I was taking a picture of them doing that, and they picked up our boat, one of our boats, the Lila H, I think. And she was up in the air, and they stopped. And I heard somebody holler, Dallas, my husband's name. And I heard him holler back, yes. Well, I handed the camera to the person next to me and had no idea who it was. It frightened me so bad to see that boat swinging in the air way up and wondering why they were calling Dallas. I ran in the house, so I never did see him put it in the water.
Yeah.
But later I asked him, I said, what did they call you for? He said they wanted to know if I wanted to put a new prop on that boat before they put it in the water. Instead, I said, no, get it in the water fast as you can. And so that's just one of those things that we had a big laugh over afterwards. Believe it or not, we did laugh a lot at some of the things that happened. And we really did.
Yeah.
But it was a relief.
And here you said that all the shrimp houses were got taken out by the storm.
Mm-hmm. 17 shrimp houses was there, as I remember.
Did they recover? I mean, did the shrimping business recover here?
Oh, yes.
They were back?
Yeah. There was one shrimp house only that could be repaired, and that was Bill Wells down at the foot of...
It happened right when you lifted. Can you speak into it now?
Yeah, 1-2.
Okay.
I wonder what that is. Weird.
Something has to be loose somewhere because it's...
I have that where you got it, where you found the trouble before. Maybe you need another extension cord. That moved down. What'd you do? Don't forget.
Oh,
now they're gonna love this when you get this back.
I know it's gonna grow. Okay, so
now,
you were saying that,
saying
that one of the shrimp houses was repaired.
Oh yeah, Bill Wells repaired his, but everybody else either didn't build back at all. We were already building when it came because we had the floor down, and it washed up in front of my house, and I think David has read this, but Saturday morning after the storm on Friday, our carpenters showed up, and they began ripping up the floor, and all of a sudden people from all over town came down, men and young boys. And everything, and they ripped up the boards and carried them down, and in nothing flat, we had that floor back in place.
Wow.
And they kept working all day Saturday on it. Now, I must remind you that there were very few places in the whole Brunswick County that could handle a... Hello, hello.
It's going to run off battery for a while.
Hello? It's working now? Hey. Is it going to work off a battery now? Yeah, it's working fine.
Okay.
Now, when did it stop?
Just...
Hello, hello.
Why are you doing this to me? Take record. See, like it just stopped.
Well,
can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Yes. I think something's wrong with the cord between here and here. I think at some set. Yes. Well, I think it's working right for the moment.
One, two, three, four. Crazy. I'll be gentle with it. As I was saying, it was very important that we have a shrimp house or shrimp houses to pack shrimp, because there were some boats that could go out shrimping the next day. And so we were feverishly trying to get ours ready. And we did. They worked all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and all day Monday. The city of Southport ran a special line from a generator in back of the police station on Nash Street, which is several blocks over. In fact, it's kind of a long way. But they ran a special line down to where we had finished that flooring. And they had and put lights down. And the lights were the Christmas lights that they used downtown to decorate the town. So they were red and green. And the last time I asked anybody that was still in that building, they say they are still up in the attic of that building since 1954, and this is 1999. And
what was left down there? Was there the article? What did you ask me? About a crab factory? That or the old fisheries building?
Yeah. But one other thing I want to say, let me say, I was talking about that. I said, the fish house that we opened and packed shrimp in on Monday night was called the Open Air Shrimp House. That is the title of it. And there are pictures, and there have been pictures and pictures of it in papers. And it's called the Open Air Shrimp House, because in the meantime, they had been down to our shrimp house and other places that they could get to and picked up things that were required, like a big container for the shrimp, because it had to be filled with water. We had to have the scales. We had to have endless number of things, and we had enough to pack shrimp out and send a truck out Monday night to New York Filter and Fish Market. I think that was quite a feat.
and they call it the open air.
It was the open air shrimp house.
Shrimp house, that's great. Mm-hmm. It didn't say that.
And the picture I want to show you is of George Whiteley paying off Saturday morning right there in my front yard with a table and chairs from Quack Sea Shack that washed up here. I have a picture of that.
Wow. What about the, your article mentions that Brunswick County overall got hit real hard.
Hello. Well,
okay. More prayers.
We're in business.
You said that Brunswick County overall was hit real hard by it. Do you remember anything about the devastation?
Oh yeah, Brunswick County was hurt real bad from about the South Carolina line up through Southport and Carolina Beach, Wrightsville Beach, and that area, because, as I think I mentioned once before, we were in the first front quadrant, which was the very worst place you could be. The storm, the eye of the storm, went over Long Beach, which by air, I suppose, would only be a couple of miles from where we were. By road, it's about 10 miles, but, you can see it from here.
Yeah.
I can stand in my upstairs and look at it. And they had a beautiful eye there for about 20 minutes or more. And a lot of the boats had gotten up to the Yellow Banks, which is behind Oak Island. I'm saying Long Beach. Long Beach and Yopon Beach have combined July the 1st and become the city of Oak Island, North Carolina.
Okay.
She's a brand new city. Now, Caswell didn't join in with them, but that's their problem. But there are beautiful yellow banks behind there, and we used to ski there a lot. But the shrimp boats go there during storms if they can get there, because there are high banks on both sides, and it's a very good place. I've never heard of an accident, any boat being hurt, other than probably bending a prop, which is minimal.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's easily fixed.
Yeah. And you said that was anybody killed in the storm?
There were, now I had always been under the impression and thought that there were 13 people killed, but I just read the other day, and I think maybe it was Jay Barnes' book, I'm not sure, that said that there were 20 people. But I kind of doubt that. I think it was 13, and I will say this. One couple that was killed were friends of ours. They had lived in Southport for years. They were from High Point, and his business was getting dogwood trees off of Bald Head Island for the wood.
Wow.
And it was a company, and they lived right here on Brunswick Street behind me for a long time, and they were very popular. And they heard about the storm, and they came with another couple. They had bought a beach cottage together on Ocean Isle Beach, which is almost to South Carolina. And they came down just to be in a hurricane on the beach. They all four were drowned and left five orphans.
At Ocean Isle?
Mm-hmm. They were four. Now, we have a girl that's in Southport now that had just been married, and they were spending their honeymoon on Long Beach. And the Coast Guard had gone and told them to get off, and they didn't. Not everybody got off, but they didn't drown. And they woke up with the water all up in the house, and they got to the top, and then they got on the roof, and they finally grabbed a mattress. And they didn't have to paddle because the wind was blowing them and blew them over into the mainland, and they ended up in a pine tree somewhere on the mainland.
Did you know
that's
her?
True.
Did
oh, yeah, her? Yeah. Who I knew was? Her very well. I know her now.
That was the...
That was Connie.
Connie Gaskell.
No.
Connie...
She was Connie... Helms at the time, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then now she has been remarried three times. She's remarried, but she's been up in Virginia working for the Chamber of Commerce, I think. But she's back in Southport now and opening up another business. Very, very smart girl.
Did you got to know her later, or you got to know her before?
I didn't know her before. Wow. I knew her afterwards.
So she went, they went?
The Helms boy was from Southport, this area.
So they floated away in the
storm. But they survived it.
Wow.
But they did end up in the trees on the mainland.
Wow. Do you remember anybody else that got that?
Now, Robert Jones, who built nearly all of the 400 and some houses that were on Long Beach that were destroyed completely. That left, I think, five. And his was the only house left that you could possibly live in. And so you can imagine the ribbon he got.
I bet. So Long Beach sounds like it pretty much got wiped out.
Oh, yeah. There were about 400 houses, and there were only 390-some left. There were only about five left out of 400.
Wow.
Around 400.
Wow.
And it wiped it clean.
And I heard something about Jay was telling me about something about a ferry load of people or something like that, people that... Maybe that was Long Beach. A little ferry ran between the two to the island. The ferry stopped running. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about, I guess. But that didn't have anything to do with that hurricane.
Okay, no.
But you see, we didn't have that bridge we've got. Now, we have a beautiful high-rise bridge. But one Labor Day, we had a swing drawbridge thing, like they fight down the north end of the county. I think Ocean Isle.
Right.
They don't want to give up that old antique drawbridge thing.
Oh, right.
And the state and everybody's willing to give them this high rise and they won't take it. But anyway, on Labor Day, our schoolhouse had burned and our children had nowhere to go to school except in the churches around town and various places. But the state sent down a ferry and ferried those children over to Fort Caswell, which is now the new North Carolina Baptist Assembly. Mm-hmm. And they were going to school over there. And it was the people that worked over in Southport that lived on Oak Island, Long Beach or Yaupon or Caswell, had to go across the canal, the Intercoastal Canal, in a boat. And they had a car on this side. They'd drive into Southport, go back that afternoon, do the same thing, and they had their wives waiting on the other side. That went on, but it all worked out fine. We made out. And we got a perfectly beautiful high-rise bridge. Even any kind of sailboat can go underneath it. And it's a beautiful view. But that has nothing to do with the hurricane.
Okay. I got the stories mixed up. In here it comes across how frightened you were while the hurricane.
What?
In here it comes across how frightened you must have been.
Oh, I was frightened. I was frightened to death. I never shed so much tears, many tears in my life, I don't believe. Of just sheer, absolute fright.
What do you think?
If you can imagine what it would be like to be sitting in a house with water all underneath you and all around you as far as you could see, and it not stopping, and the wind blowing 150 miles an hour. Yeah, I cried, and I was scared.
You were worried about your mom and daddy.
Yeah, I was worried about mother and daddy way up on the end of town, not for cause of water, but because they were living in a house that had the largest oak tree in Southport, and the limbs were all over the top of that house. But they made it. Nothing happened. Mm-hmm. They were fine.
And then you have a little note here that says on your first time to church after the hurricane.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that a little bit? You went up to the church and prayed.
Well, can
a
I just
bit.
Read it?
Yes, ma'am.
David wants me to read this. It says Saturday, October the 16th. Is it working? Saturday, October 16th, 1954, begin cleaning up. Everyone is sore, tension from the day before. Sunday, October 17th, 1954, I go to church. I sit in the choir and I sing. I listen to the minister. I pray. I give thanks. We are alive, all alive. The unpredictable sea that became so furious is so quiet and beautiful again, and I am so thankful. So I give thanks to my God in my church. I have learned a secret of the sea, a secret and wonder I had never known before. So I stay in church a long time, and I cry.
What do you mean exactly when you talk about a secret of the sea?
Well, it's never having been through anything like that. It was a secret that I didn't know about, but I sure know about it now. And I've been through a lot since. David, we have had some bad storms since then. We had Diane in 1984, the year I sold this building.
Mm-hmm.
I moved down. The girl that bought the shell shop from me had a building down there where she is now.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked me if I would run it that season for her, for myself, and then she would buy it from me. She said, I'll pay all utilities, everything, if you'll just don't close it. I said, Dot, you're the smartest thing I've ever seen. If you ever close this shell shop one season, you can forget it. There'll be people coming from the byways putting up shell shops. So I kept it open for her. And she bought it the next year. And I stayed down there a couple of years with her and showed her around. I went to conventions with her, shows with her, and got her started. And she has really done well.
Mm-hmm. But you say that she got hit hard in Diane, or?
Uh-huh. Well, while I was there in 1984, my grandson was working with me. And we had Diane. That was one of the times the meteorologist boo-booed. I mean, really boo-booed. It took the roof right off of that building and ended up halfway, almost up to my house. And, of course, the shells, for some unknown reason, were all muddy. Now, how in the world that happened, I don't know. But we had to wash shells for a week or two. But they lost Hurricane Diana. Now, by that time, we had radios we could listen to very well. They were much better equipped to follow the storms. Mm-hmm. Okay, we listened on our radios, and it seems that they lost Diana. We said, well, we know, not lost, we know where she is. She came in halfway from Frying Pan Shoals light, and she stopped. And then she turned around and went back. And when she did, everything got calm. And in just a few hours, she turned around, came back, and I mean, she tore us up the next morning. I ended up way out on House Street in a little cinder block house that my daughter was living in at the time, not knowing what in the world was going on down here, and to be honest with you, didn't much care.
Right.
Boy, I didn't want to be down here then. That was bad. That was a bad storm, but not nearly as bad as Hazel. Nothing to compare with that.
Yeah, I was supposed to remind you about the story of the about the dirt that the Moors had put around their house.
Oh, David reminded me of something. I was telling him about the people across the street who were very close friends of ours, built a house over there, but they had to bring in dirt because there was nothing over there but marsh. So it was tons and tons and tons of dirt he had hauled in, and then they built the house. And he fussed all those years. All I ever heard was how much that dirt cost him. He said, I thought dirt was cheap. They always said dirt was cheap. He said it cost me more for the dirt than it did to build my house. So after the storm was over, and those two shrimp boats stopped within 15 feet of their dining room, he came flying over here when the storm was over. This is exactly what he did. Well, number one, I took a picture of him that I have somewhere, and he's standing on his stoop with the water over his knees with his pants rolled up with a newspaper over his head and the wind blowing 150 miles an hour. Sensible? No. But anyway, he came running over here to see what happened here. And I put my finger in his face and I said, Merritt, if I ever hear you say another word about how much that dirt cost you, you're a big man, but I'm going to see how hard I can hit you and get you on the floor. He never mentioned it anymore.
That's a great story. You also said you have a nice story here about the, he said that there was kind of a silver lining that had to do, to her, Hazel, that had to do with a boy next door.
Yeah.
Do you feel like talking about it?
I'd rather leave that out.
That's fine.
Because we're such good friends now.
That's fine.
He never comes back. He doesn't bring me scallops and come. That's all in the past.
Okay.
But it did happen.
Can you show me pictures?
Oh, yeah.
I'll hold this for you while...
My father, my husband's father and mother's house.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that pretty?
Yeah, very pretty.
Okay, these are numbered. I did this long years ago, if I still got them in correct. This is the way the yacht basin looked while we were still down. All the fish houses were down there on the waterfront. I'm almost scared to put it on that.
Yeah, me too.
This is just like it. Now, this is a picture of the way it looked. Now, there's a bigger one, I think, up there framed. But this went all the way to the river.
How many shrimp boats do you think were down there?
I have no idea.
Dozens?
I have no, yeah.
Dozens of shrimp boats.
Well, of course, some of these way down there are commercial, are charter boats.
Charter boats.
And they're big, too, you know. A charter boat is large. Now, this is the man that was working for us. His name was George Whiteley. And these chairs and this table came from a restaurant that was almost a block away from me on the water. And it tore it all to pieces, and these chairs floated up here. And so he paid off Saturday morning because he had the records. No, he did not have the record. That is important that I tell you this. He didn't have a record to go by. He didn't know how to pay anybody because we lost him. I told you about losing everything. And he just asked him. He said, I have nothing to go by. What do you think you got? Because they're pretty good at that. They can usually tell you when they come in, well, I got about 15 bushels or 10 or 20 or whatever. They are pretty accurate at that. And they said, Mr. George said, we know. So just give us what you think is right. He said, well, first I want you to hear what you think. And they would tell him, so they would come to an understanding. And the headers were the same way. They didn't have any idea how many buckets they were paid by the bucket,
right,
by the pound. And they had no idea. So he just paid them the best he could. And he told us afterwards, he says, Dallas, I finished. And he said, I want you to know that I did not get a complaint out of one single soul. Everybody went away pleased. And that made us feel real good.
That's great.
This is a picture of the shrimp boxes that people picked up all over the waterfront.
I bet they
Anything
did.
That looked like it belonged to a shrimp house ended up down here. And that's my house. Now, we had the awnings. We had pulled them up. Mm-hmm. So they were down then. And this was the house next door. I'll show you better pictures of that later. This was Dallas. And that's, I can't read the name of that boat. I think it's the Miss America.
The Miss?
Yeah.
I bet it.
That's it. It's a Miss America.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's Miss, it's on them on the head. But that's Dallas. And this is the floor of the fish house that they're putting back. And you can tell he's worried. I got some more. There he is again. No, he's not in this one. This
so, y'all, so y'all had the Royal Flush, the Lila H, the Miss America. Senior moment time. No.
Yeah. I'll have to look some more.
Okay, that's okay.
This is one of the men that was working for us. We had a family of Gore boys that worked for us. That's Rudy. He was big and heavy, as you can see. They were a great help. This is Dallas again. He still looks worried. I can't read that, but I don't think it's our boat because our boat had gray waste. Can you read it?
Cosima?
Rosina. That Rosina. Was our boat. Yes, it was.
Rosima?
Rosina.
Rosina.
Oh, let me tell you a story about her. She wouldn't run.
During the storm?
No, she wouldn't run. She had been tied to the dock, and we had to leave her. They tied her down as well as they could mm-hmm. and just forgot her. And do you know there wasn't a scratch on that boat? And I have always remembered her and never will forget her because she survived Hurricane Hazel with nobody on her and nobody really giving a damn.
And what happened? So the other boats, the crew stayed on them and tried to ride
well,
it out?
Well, one of them, as I told you, the Royal Flush, he got out.
He got up. He went up
he
river.
He ended up in Wilmington, right. which is 30 miles away from here.
Yeah.
But he made it up the river, dodging houses and debris and trees and all that.
What about the other boats? What I mean, they...
I've forgotten how many we...